We told people it was happening. They didn't believe us. Now it's on tape. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Great to be back with you, Barry, in the studio. 2 weeks in a row, we're trying to set a record, I think.
Okay, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Something's going to happen that changes that up, I'm sure, as it usually does. Well, Chuck, there's an awful lot going on right now, and I'm still holding to Barry's first maxim of all politics, which includes the culture as well, and that is the left always outrun their cover. They push too far, too fast, too hard, and they invite a response. Well, we're going to start seeing it. I think we are seeing it since we talked last week about marriage and the push and the Supreme Court decision. We're seeing the response starting to come back on that, you know, from judges, from states, from people of faith, from pastors, all who are, and from business owners, all who understand what that radical extension of egalitarianism is going to cost them. I think now we're starting to see it in another area, Charles. You know, we've been told for a long time now that, according to polls, America really likes choice. America likes to have their choices. And that's fine if we're talking about soda pop. And that's fine if we're talking about which restaurant you like to eat at. But what they're referring to is the decision whether or not to murder a unborn, defenseless human life. That's not choice. But for some people, it's a profit motive.
Well, we've been saying this since the beginning of the pro-life movement, and that is that Planned Parenthood, though registered as a nonprofit, and anyone who knows anything about nonprofits knows that the idea that nonprofits don't make a profit in a lot of cases is absurd. And Planned Parenthood is registered as a nonprofit, but they make tremendous profit. And they make tremendous profit on doing abortions. And here's how they justify it. Well, yes, we have all these people that we have to pay, and we're doing all this great work doing, you know, cervical cancer screening and all that stuff. And okay, fine, you're doing cervical cancer screening and breast cancer screening, but how are you doing it? Well, you're doing it by selling an evil service. And it goes beyond that.
It does.
As we're discovering.
It actually does, and thankfully, we've got a number of great groups out there, whether it's Life Dynamics, Marsh Crutcher's group out of Texas, whether it's Created Equal, which is our friend Mark Harrington's group out of Columbus here, and others who are willing to go and do the hard work of exposing what's really going on.
Right.
Whether it's holding the signs out on public street corners, on the sides of panel trucks and driving around events and things like Mark does, or if it's like Life Dynamics or other groups where they go in undercover and record what's actually being said by folks at Planned Parenthood. Well, Charles, this one just hit the news here about 2 days ago before we recorded this. And, of course, you're hearing this about a week after.
So, right. We're doing this early on in the controversy.
We're doing this early on because we really wanted to talk about this. So this organization called the Center for Medical Progress, which is a pro-life organization, actually sent it. They spent 3 years building this up, Charles. They had to basically create they created a front to make it look like they were a biomedical firm, and then they sent in two of their folks, quote-unquote undercover, i.e. posing as buyers for this biomedical firm, to talk to a Planned Parenthood abortionist, a physician, i.e., and I use that term loosely, because physician's supposed to mean something. They're supposed to take a Hippocratic oath to do no harm. And I would say Planned Parenthood's doing more harm than anything. By the name of Dr. Deborah Nukatola. Now, I'm probably butchering that name, and that's okay. Well, I think we've got an audio here somewhere where they might have her name on there. But she is the National Senior Director of, quote-unquote, Medical Services for Planned Parenthood. And they posed as a couple of big-rolling biomedical firm executives who were discussing with her the potentiality of obtaining specimens, shall we say. Certain things, like hearts, lungs, livers. Livers are hot, Chuck. Did you realize that? Livers are big.
Well, I'll be quite honest. Until I held down my lunch, yes, and watched this video, I did not know that. And I'll be quite honest, I'm a little taken aback. Now, we've talked in the past. We've been around this barn a couple of times, and if you recall, there have been several attempts to. Several state legislatures have actually banned the sale of fetal parts for instance, stem cell research.
Right.
Now, there was a big campaign in Missouri where, if you recall, Michael J. Fox came out and talked about they basically did a referendum to overturn one of those bans. And the big boohoo was about Michael J. Fox, who has Parkinson's disease, about how, you know, embryonic stem cell research was going to do this and that and another thing to help him cure his Parkinson's disease. And conservatives were painted as these horrible people who wanted to stop scientific research and blah, 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 blah. And all that was done essentially to veil the fact that groups like Planned Parenthood were making millions of dollars a year selling those parts. And the fact also that is rarely mentioned these days because it's not convenient. It's not a convenient truth. But stem cell, embryonic stem cell research has proven to be a bust. And not just a little bit of a bust.
A
complete bust, because what it tends to do is when it is used, it creates cancer.
Yes, or there are other genetic anomalies that happen around it
major,
as well.
Major problems. So what they've discovered is, in the interim, that what are called adult stem cells are not really adult, they're mature.
Sure.
Actually can be converted to a much more usable form of stem cell to do the things that the embryonic stem cells were supposed to do, but instead created havoc.
Right, because the argument was, and you know, we fought these wars in the legislature and are still fighting them, by the way, the whole idea that an embryonic stem cell to medical research is what they call pluripotent.
Pluripotent.
Then it could be with the proper, you know, environment or culturing and messing with it, they can make it differentiate into whatever type of cell they want it, whether it's lung tissue or skin or whatever it might be. And so they've been experimenting for decades on this, and none of the experiments have been successful. But what they found is adult stem cells, and I like the way you phrased that, it doesn't mean just, but really in a lot of ways it does mean from adults, because they found that oftentimes the best type of cells to get are adult stem cells from the person themselves,
yeah,
to grow or to help manufacture what's needed to replace a deficiency in that person's organs or whatever it might be. And there have been numerous successes with those type of stem cell trials and research. But Chuck, we're going beyond that now, because it isn't just for cells. Because if you only needed a small culture of cells, you can get that in many different ways. But what we're talking about here, and what Deborah Nukatola, who's the Senior Director of Medical Services for National Planned Parenthood, was discussing with these undercover agents from the Center for Medical Progress, was making sure that when you are killing an unborn child, i.e. aborting the child, that you used ultrasound so that you knew where to place the forceps so that you didn't damage the heart, lung, or organ tissues.
Yeah, they're actually talking about extracting the fetus in such a way as the parts that are going to be sold for that particular fetus right. are not damaged.
Are not damaged.
Because
that's
it
right.
doesn't matter, you know, if you're not looking for a brain, you can crush the head, no problem. But right. just don't crush if you're looking for...
Don't crush the lower abdomen because we need the kidneys
and
the lungs.
We need the liver and the heart yeah, and the lungs exactly. And whatever else.
And they ask him, and these undercover folks talk to them about this whole idea and kind of basically asked, well, what does that kind of thing go for? And now the Washington Post has put an article out here as we're recording this. Even the Washington Post, which is not a conservative newspaper by any stretch of the imagination, Charles, with the headline, Undercover Video Shows Planned Parenthood Official Discussing Fetal Organs Used for Research. Well, that sounds almost innocuous, right? Well, what they really get down into, and as much as the Washington Post is trying to backpedal on this and make it sound like there really isn't anything going on, what they're really finding out is that these folks pressed Nucatola about whether or not they were charging for the organs. Now, Nucatola basically got real sketchy at that point and was saying, well, the organization is very, very sensitive about being perceived as illegally profiting from organ sales and supposedly charges only for the cost of shipping the tissues. But when they asked her specifically, she was saying, you know, I'd throw a number out. I would say it's probably anywhere from $30 to $100 per specimen. Now, Chuck, okay, I understand that, you know, there's some specialized shipping that has to go on. Dry ice packing, all that kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, they have you generally next day air. Or,
next day air, okay.
Or even same day courier delivery, yeah.
So I get that, okay? I get that, okay, that could be the case. But she, and she goes on and says this whole idea that, well, and, okay, and this is a spokesman. This is Eric Ferrero, who's a spokesman for Planned Parenthood. Now, of course, they're backpedaling fast as they can because it happens to be a federal felony, Charles, to sell body parts for research.
Well, here's an interesting thing I find in Hot Air, which is a blog, and I'll get to it in a second yeah. here.
But let me go ahead with this yeah. with Ferrero. He says basically that all the video misrepresents our work. The clinics, with a patient's permission, how many young women going in there to have an abortion understand what they're signing? Do they read through all the paperwork? Do they understand what they're signing away? Probably not. May sometimes donate fetal tissue for use in stem cell research. Wait a minute, fetal tissue? But we're talking about this, the medical director saying, we got to make sure we don't crush things like intact hearts, intact lungs, intact livers. Chuck, that's more than just a little bit of tissue. You know, when I think of a tissue sample, I think of taking something and scraping a little skin off and getting a few flakes of skin. That's a tissue sample, you know? When you do a biopsy, if you've ever had that experience, they cut a little bit of something, whether it's on your surface right. or your skin or whatever, right. they do a biopsy. That's a tissue sample, not a full heart. They don't take your heart out if they're going to do okay. a tissue sample of your heart tissue. They don't take your liver out if they're just trying to figure out a biopsy to figure out if you have liver damage.
Well, it's interesting. Hot Air says I love this quote. Has there been any more dire need of PR flax than Planned Parenthood's after yesterday's undercover video?
Yes.
The media sat in stunned silence for hours afterwards, awaiting signals on how to proceed with coverage. Don't kid yourself, folks. They wait for groups like Planned Parenthood, who are featured players,
yes.
people they are trying to protect. They wait for them to say something so they can run it out there and run it up the flagpole. The first internal attempt at spin turned out to be a hot mess. And there's a hot link to that. I have gone to there. So they began to bring in the consultants. Mark Hemingway at the Weekly Standard brings us the delightful take to. Quote, aborted pregnancy tissue donation and research are humanitarian undertakings that hold the potential to cure disease, save lives, and ameliorate suffering. Remember what we talked about at the beginning about Michael J. Fox? Quote, some providers choose to offer this service to patients. In some cases, patients are seeking tissue donation, and in other cases, patients are informed of the option and choose tissue donation.
In other cases, they're informed. Okay, I like that. In other cases, But you know, you start putting that together with Ferraro, because he also says here, and of course, you can hear the backspin on this, like whizzing by you at 100 miles an hour. And he basically says that, you misrepresented us, but the clinics, with the patient's permission, may sometimes donate fetal tissue for use in stem cell research. And he added, the group's affiliates, which operate independently, ding, 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 do not profit from these donations. Okay, Chuck. And he says here, we do this just like any other high-quality healthcare provider, with full appropriate consent from patients and under the highest ethical and legal standards. I cannot wait to see the depositions coming out of this one. He says that several of our health centers, we help patients who want to donate tissue for scientific research, and we do this just like every other provider. In some instances, actual costs, such as the cost to transport tissue to leading research centers, are reimbursed, which is standard across the medical field. Okay, Chuck, you know what? I'm going to play dumb and give him the benefit of the doubt on that part. Okay, let's just say that those costs are for reimbursement. The problem being, you're still saying tissue, and what you're really doing is harvesting organs.
Yeah.
That's an entirely different ball of wax.
Okay, Hot Air has something interesting on that particular defense.
Okay.
All right, the new defense comes from Camino Public Relations, whose two-pager attempts to rebut the undertakings of the undercover video. They offer a number of interesting straw men and rationalizations to rebut, some of which bear passing resemblance to the actual issues raised in the video. For instance, here's Camino's suggestion on how to rebut the notions of selling fetal parts, actually referred to by critics as organs from babies, emphasis mine. Here's the quote. Rather than speculating about the cost of selling fetal parts as written in the Washington Times, the transcript indicates that Deborah Nucatella was speculating on the range of reimbursement that patients can receive after stating they wish to donate any tissue after a procedure.
Hold on just a minute.
Exactly.
It sounds to me like we've got two entirely different spins on this thing, and they're contradicting each other.
And here's what Hot Air says. Really? The patients get those payments? Dr. Deborah Nucatella puts it quite differently in the video.
Oh, absolutely.
As the transcript from the Center for Medical Progress shows, quote, you know, I would throw a number out. I would say this is Planned Parenthood. This is Dr. Nucatella. You know, I would throw a number out. I would say it's probably anywhere from $30 to $100 per specimen, depending on the facility and what's involved. It just has to do with space issues. Are you sending someone there who's going to be doing everything? Is there shipping involved? Is somebody going to have to take it out? You know, I think everybody just wants, it's really just about if anyone were ever to ask them, what do you do for this $60? How can you justify that? Or are you basically just doing something differently, completely egregious that you should be doing for free? So it just needs to be justifiable. And look, we have 67 affiliates, and they all have different practice environments, different staff, and so that number, did you say 67, the questioner? Planned Parenthood, 67. So you have to know that Deborah Nucatella is the head of that division of Planned Parenthood that does the abortions and the harvesting.
Yes.
Okay, the buyer. Okay, so of that number, how much would personality of the personnel in there would play into it as far as how we're speaking to them? Planned Parenthood. I think for affiliates, at the end of the day, they're a nonprofit. They just don't want to. They want to break even. And if they can do a little better than break even and do so in a way that seems reasonable, they're happy to do that.
Yeah, now she goes on to say, and I'm looking at this Washington Post article, and I'm glad you're reading Hot Air because they're digging into it in a way that the Washington Post wouldn't. But even the Washington Post, they're quoting from the video. And, you know, they said that basically they're asking, and she, this whole idea about she talks about how they handle the procedure so that they don't damage these organs they're looking for. And she says, quote, and this is Nucatella saying it, I'd say a lot of people want liver, quote. And for that reason, most providers will do this case under ultrasound guidance so they'll know where they're putting their forceps. Chuck, this is the national medical director. Do you realize what she's just done? She's just now admitted that they are altering the way they do the abortion in order to harvest an organ. Do you understand that that is illegal under United States law?
Yeah.
That is a felony under United States law. Buying and selling human fetal tissue is illegal in the United States. Federal regulations prohibit people from altering the timing or method of an abortion for the sole purpose of later using the tissue in research.
Yep. And here
she just has admitted on tape that they are specifically breaking federal law.
And Hot Air goes into exactly the same thing and gives a link out to the federal law that's being broken.
Well, excellent, excellent. Now she says this too. She says, we've been very good at getting heart, lung, liver because we know that. So I'm not going to crush that part. I'm basically going to crush below, I'm going to crush above, and I'm going to see if I can get it all intact. Charles. Okay. Oh, but our affiliates are independent. They operate independently. So this whole, the denial that their spokesman for Tela has been trying to, Ferrero has been putting out there, Nakatola just basically blew a hole in it. She's saying she knows, and that those 67 that are under her auspices are getting very good at learning how to alter the way they do an abortion in order to harvest more organs. That means it's a industry-wide practice.
Hearing what you're saying and reading what Hot Air has, what kind of odds are you giving that the Dr. Nakatola doesn't last the week?
I'm assuming that she's going to have to be, she'll be publicly submitting her resignation probably by the beginning of next, probably before this show airs. I'm guessing
yeah.
it'll happen.
And yeah, because we're recording on Wednesday and it'll
air a week
Air a week from Saturday. She'll be gone by the time this airs.
Yep. Pretty much.
Now, what's interesting about that, I've got a couple of AP covert video targets Planned Parenthood fetal parts policy. AP is doing its best to run interference. Some of the commentary on this article are interesting. Planned Parenthood is selling the body parts of aborted babies. Anyone downplaying, minimizing, or denying this is defending the practice. Try finding anything on this subject in any MSM outlet. Silence at the New York Times, WAPO, CBS, and you just read something from the Post. So they have commented. Even they couldn't let it go too far without at least a comment. CBS, ABC, NBC, just disgusting, and they think they should be considered relevant by anyone. It's part of the problem, folks. There's no way to look at this in any way. We just heard from Hot Air some of the attempts to spin it. Hot Air completely debunks it. It's very clear. Nakatola makes it clear that the payments are not going to the abortion receivers. They're going to the facilities.
It's not going to the woman coming in having the abortion, regardless of what she signed. They're using those facilities. And according to her, she said per specimen, Chuck.
Right.
So if they harvest a heart, two lungs, and a liver out of each aborted fetus, and they get anywhere from $30 to $100. That's $120 to $400 per abortion.
Up to, yeah.
Now, okay, fine. However, I'm sure that if you started asking post-abortive women if they knew and understood and signed something that would donate the organs of their unborn children for medical research, I'm guessing a significant majority are going to say they had no idea that that was what was going on. And I'm sure that 100% of them would say that, no, they didn't receive any financial
reimbursement.
Oh, absolutely,
of course. Basically, here's what the AP basically said. The activists contended the video reveals illegalities, but Planned Parenthood said the activity in question was legal, not-for-profit donation of fetal tissue to research firms. Remember, this is the worst form of equivocation. Yes, receiving donations from a for-profit company is not a problem. To a nonprofit isn't a problem. But when you do it in return for illegally selling parts, it's still illegal. You can call it. You can look at a dog and ask you how many legs it has, how many would you tell me?
Depends on the dog. I mean, most of them have an average four.
Standard dog. Four. My two dogs here, how many legs do they have?
Four apiece.
And I tell you that, no, they have five, because that big long thing swinging off the back, that's a leg.
Ah. No, that's a tail.
Nope, that's a leg. I'm telling you it's a leg. I identify that as a leg. Now,
you're being a postmodernist now, aren't you?
Here's what I'm doing. What I'm telling you is, you can identify things as something they're not. What does that make you? If I tell you my dog's tail is a leg, what does it make me?
Insane.
Insane. Exactly. Okay. I'm insane.
Good. I got that one right.
So that's exactly what's going on.
Sure.
This is a form of insanity.
Oh, yeah. A major form.
Let's just make it. We've got to protect them no matter what, and therefore let's make it something it's not.
Now, Chuck, I want to bring us to another piece of this because I'm over on One News now, and Michelle Malkin, who is probably no stranger to most of our listeners, they've probably heard about some of her writing before. She's a conservative columnist. She's writing a couple things in here, and as I'm reading that, something clicked in my head. Okay? She goes in here to talk about this whole, because, you know, she's watched this video. As a matter of fact, there's two versions of the video. Number one is a short version, which I believe is what the Washington Post has on their site.
Right.
And others showing. But then there's supposedly unedited, and I'll say supposedly, because yes, it could have been edited in some way or form, but over 3 hours of this interview or conversation that these two undercover folks from the Center for Medical Progress had with Dr. Nicotola. And so she has watched this, and she talks about this whole idea. She says she then, and this is coming from Malkin, and I quote, she then spoke of the new hot trends in body parts trafficking as if she were raving about the latest craze for crop tops or artisanal cheese. I was like, wow, she gushed to her potential clients about the market for unborn baby hearts. I didn't even know. Like, wow. This master of murderous euphemisms repeatedly referred to an unborn baby's head as a calvarium. Have you heard that? It's Latin.
Yeah, it's Latin. I forget what it means, but yes.
It basically means the chamber. It's chamber. And casually described the tricks and techniques she and her fellow abortionists used to, quote, increase your chance of success, unquote. Rotating the baby so they're delivered breech before being mutilated and slaughtered by the practitioners of Planned Parenthood works fabulously, in case you were wondering. Do you realize what if...
That's a partial birth abortion method.
Exactly, which was banned under federal law in 2003. She's just admitted to another violation of federal law by the organization as a whole. Now, Chuck, this is an organization that gets hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars every year from the federal government.
And millions of dollars, tens if not hundreds of millions of dollars from the abortions it performs.
Exactly. Again, you know, you can't spin this any other way. If you're delivering a baby breech and you're trying to hold the lower extremities intact, what are you doing? You're doing a partial birth abortion. Because the only way if you deliver that baby, it's live. Once that baby comes out, if it's not dispatched, terminated, executed, before the whole body comes out of the canal, then you're dealing with a murder. The only way you can keep it from being a murder rap under our current messed up laws is if you're delivering a breech, you're not shooting it full of saline while the body's hanging outside, because that doesn't work. You're not...
Yeah.
Carving it up into little bitty pieces, you're inserting
scissors
in the back of the skull, and you're vacuuming
out the brains.
Yes. That's a partial birth abortion.
And there's where I've heard the term calvarium, because I remember now reading the procedure for partial birth abortion, and it's written in technicalese. That's where I've heard the term before. You know, and I've got a thing from National Review, just to reiterate, they've got links to both versions, when we will post this on our website.
Yeah.
They've got the abridged version and the full version. And basically what they say is the abridged version is horrifying and the full footage is not exculpatory.
Oh, I bet it's not. So,
Planned Parenthood's first self-defense, first attempt at self-defense, which they dropped immediately, was that the, well, this is a heavily edited video. Well, there are maybe some parts that are edited out because they're boring. You know, they may be standard conversation. But the fact is, it's not chopped up into pieces. She says what she says. Dr. Nakatola says what she says. The fact is, she's talking about selling aborted, partial birth aborted fetuses for parts. Flat out. That's what she's doing. So you can't walk away from that. And I'm a little disturbed. This should be very telling, Barry. What have you heard from the Republican presidential candidates about this?
Well, actually, a couple, three of them have been.
Three.
Three.
Out of 15.
Well, actually, I believe Ted Cruz has called for a federal investigation of Planned Parenthood.
Exactly.
He's the only one who's done anything.
That's four.
Carly Fiorina basically said, oh, it's tragic, it's outrageous. Jeb Bush said, it's a shocking and horrific reminder that we must do so much more to foster a culture of life in America. What are you saying, you jackanape you?
Yes.
That is absolute
That's
political backspin.
It's claptrap. Yeah. It's claptrap. Now, Bobby Jindal, who's not, I don't think he's an official candidate.
Yes,
is he? Is he in? Bobby Jindal, Fiorina, and Carson, Ben Carson, have spoken out. Now, what I'm noticing is the real lack of passion, and they're all coming out and giving it the sort of perfunctory. Rick Santorum's going to ring in. He has to.
I'm sure. Everybody. Everybody will be.
They're all going to ring in. But here's the problem: they've all decided that this year, abortion is essentially the hot potato that nobody wants to play with, because as far as they're concerned, abortion is a loser. And here we go, all of a sudden abortion's back to winner status, and they're being really slow on the uptake.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, they're scared to death because this whole meme that the Democrats have put out about war on women. Okay, well, first of all, Chuck, biggest war on women is the number of unborn baby girls that are aborted.
Yes.
Okay. You want to end the war on women? Stop aborting little baby girls. For that matter, stop aborting little baby boys.
Well, how about we stop aborting children of color? Because that's where the majority of abortions are taking place.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily a majority, but a hugely disproportional number.
Absolutely.
Of abortions are children of color.
It also gets us into questioning. Okay, Chuck, we talked about this in brief, kind of in passing last week, and we're kind of still talking about it in brief this
right.
week. Part of the country's in a flummoxed uproar over a flag.
Yeah.
That's prominent in a number of southern states, let's put it that way. People are screaming from the rooftops about removing all traces of racism, i.e., taking down statues to Confederate generals, sandblasting Stone Mountain, digging up Nathan Bedford Forrest and his wife's bodies from their
statue
from their graves in Memphis and dumping the bodies unceremoniously wherever. Honestly, that's all just absolute nonsense. You really want to go after racism? Then let's see the NAACP come out and condemn Planned Parenthood, whose founder, Margaret Sanger, did so with the express purpose of exterminating less desired races and mental deficits. And she kind of categorized those all together. You see, Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger founded Planned Parenthood because she was a eugenicist. And as a eugenicist and as a white woman, her main goal was to eradicate what she considered to be unworthy or inferior strains from the society. Those strains being those of African-American descent. Folks, the biggest racist still existing is Planned Parenthood.
Oh, absolutely. Look, Breitbart has an article, if you go out, and hopefully it'll still be available by the time this pops up on it'll still be available.
Yeah,
it'll
we'll
be in their archives, and we will link to it because I'm saving the links now. But they talk about Margaret Sanger. And okay, if the media is going to stop with its hypocrisy, then we really need to talk seriously and expose Margaret Sanger for what she was, because she was a eugenicist.
Absolutely.
And Planned Parenthood was founded on the basis of eugenics. In other words, to cleanse the race. It's cliche, and I don't want to get into Gresham's Law thing. Not Gresham's Law. Can't think of what it is. The first one who mentions Hitler loses, you know, an argument. But the Nazis were great admirers of Margaret Sanger. And she had no problem with that until, of course, later on in the 30s when it became obvious that it was it was going to be a bad thing. Here it is. Racist pro-Nazi roots of Planned Parenthood revealed, written by John Nolde.
Okay.
Over at Breitbart. And it's a great article. You should read it. Because anybody who knows anything about Planned Parenthood knows these are the facts. Planned Parenthood started out as a eugenics group, and it really hasn't stopped.
No, it has not.
You know, as we know, where do most abortion clinics end up? Well, they're not in suburban neighborhoods, although there's one here in Westerville. For the most part, they're in inner city.
Sure.
Why?
That's right. Because that's where they think that their demographic targets are located.
And that's where they think they're going to do the most business.
Exactly.
So these are undeniable facts. And now they're saying, in many cases, they're doing reduced rate, quote unquote, in other words, subsidized abortions in the inner city. They're going to get some of their money back by selling the pieces. That's what's going on here.
Well, absolutely. That's what's going on. Now, Chuck, this isn't like that they donate abortions, okay?
Right.
They charge those low-income women plenty of money for an abortion.
Plenty.
Or, if they could, they bill it to some insurance.
Well,
if there are ones that cover.
In some states, Medicaid.
Medicaid covers. That's right.
I don't know about Ohio.
That was one of the issues we had with the governor trying to accept Medicaid dollars, was that there was no prohibitions against using them for abortions.
That's what I thought. In fact, I have a feeling that under this particular regime in the White House, it would be a requirement that money go for abortion. If it's federal money, and
yes,
let's face it, it's federal money.
Right.
Now, you know what? You and I both know what will happen. Eventually, that federal money will dry up, but the requirement that it be for abortion will still be there. So, in other words, that's the way this ball rolls. The federal money eventually dries up, as no one, and the question no one is asking Kasich, how are we going to pay for it after that? But the restrictions are still there, because after all, there's a precedent. There's a precedent for the federal government setting the rules for how that'll be done. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
We can be anti-abortion all we want in this state, and as long as we've got Medicaid, we've got abortion as part of it.
As long as you're accepting the dollars from the federal trough, you get the regs that go with them. That's a big problem, and it has always been a big problem. Now, you know, Governor Kasich, God bless him anyway, can say that's our money all he wants to, but the point is it's not. It's not our money. It's not like we put all this money in there and it's just sitting there waiting for us, and if we don't take it, they give it to somebody else. But the problem is that it's a hook, just like many other, just like No Child Left Behind money was a hook, as we now are dealing with Common Core.
Right.
Just like so many federal dollars handed down to the states are hooks that the federal government can assume more control over the states. That's really what they're there for. But, you know, when we get right back to it, Chuck, what we have in this respect is a organization that purports to be a nonprofit who charges for performing abortions, who sells body parts and or tissue, regardless of which way you want to call it. And it's unclear right now as to whether or not they're doing that. If they're only getting specific direct reimbursements for costs expensed or not. And I think the only way you can figure that out, Charles, is if we have a audit of that organization.
Watch what happens when you start calling for that and people start seriously calling for that. Now, I believe
Ted Cruz?
Well, no. Rand Paul
okay.
has basically called for federal defunding.
Well, that would be a great place to start. But I would love to just get, I'd love to see a full audit of their records because, okay, hey, if they've got a thing here where on one side of the ledger it says expenses surrounding this, you know, tissue harvesting, and it was $23, and then they had receivables from a biotech firm for $23 for that piece of fetal tissue, hey, I'll shut up and walk away. But I'm not thinking that's the case.
Okay,
my guess is they're going to have expenses all wrapped up into the fee they charge the woman for the abortion, and then they're going to have receivables that are the $30 to $100 per specimen.
And there's another way that gets dealt with, and that's the Hollywood accounting method.
Oh yeah.
And if you don't know what I mean very often you'll find Hollywood. In order to avoid paying royalties, bury costs, and do all kinds of deceptive accounting practices to make it look like a movie didn't make money. And they do that because there's all kinds of tax breaks, and they don't have to pay residuals to actors. And there are all kinds of reasons and why I bring that up. Because you think that people who are willing to murder infants so they can sell parts are above doing deceptive accounting practices?
Oh, no, I don't think they're
above on. Seriously. This is like, well, they're totally without conscience over here. But, boy, when it comes to ethics having to do with their accounting methods, they're bulletproof, baby. Come on. Who are we kidding here? They're not bulletproof. They're shoddily dishonest, as this video points out. That's kind of the whole point. You know, one of the things that every once in a while, it looks like the pro-life movement is kind of gasping for air. And then a new thing comes along and gives them a new shot of life. Here it is. Here it is. This is a new shot of life to the pro-life movement.
Oh, it should be.
It should be. There are people, let's face it, here's the problem. I think the church has gotten so wrapped up in pietism that it is failing to do its job in educating people from, I mean, I know our church does, you know, we talked about the sanctity of life and that kind of thing. And I think, I don't know for sure, I am an elder. If a case was brought before me that someone had an abortion, fully knowledgeable and feeling no guilt whatsoever about it,
right.
I'm afraid I would have to bring charges and for excommunication. Haven't had such a case, thank goodness. But I, you know, now are there women who have those things and deeply regret them?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and are repentant?
Absolutely.
Yeah. There needs to be counseling and some form of discipline. But, you know, one of the problems we're running into, and we had this discussion last Sunday at my church. We were, not Sunday, Saturday, we were having a work day at church, and a bunch of us were, while I was rebuilding an engine on a lawnmower, everybody was standing around watching me rebuild this engine, and we got to talking about some of these issues. And we were talking about the fact that church discipline doesn't mean anything anymore because, you know, if we excommunicate someone, cut them off from the normal, the usual means of grace, which is the preaching of the word. We wouldn't cut them from the preaching of the word. We certainly would cut them off from communion.
Right.
Well, as far as most churches are concerned, oh, sure, come on in. We'll We'll take you in as members. You're under discipline. We don't care. That was the unity of the church. The church would look at discipline cases in the past and say, no, that's a justified case. Now, there are people who I knew who were under discipline who had no business being under discipline. They were under discipline because the elders had required them to do something unbiblical, and they wouldn't do it. So the elders excommunicated them, and I'm like, good. You're out of that mess. That was not lawful for them to do. But that is why you investigate cases and adjudicate whether it was a lawful excommunication or not. That's not happening now. And in fact, if you think about it, most people have completely lost contact with the sacraments. Communion's no big deal. Doesn't really do anything. It's just, you know, you drink some wine and eat some bread. It's completely symbolic. Well, it is symbolic, but it also is an indicator of the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the whole point. It's not magic. You know, people aren't cured and raised from the dead by the sacraments. But the fact is that the presence of the Holy Spirit is there if it's done correctly. And people have sort of lost that notion. They've taken on a very Gnostic view of the church and the sacraments. That's a scary thing, Barry. That's a very scary thing. And that's part of what we're dealing with here. You know, last week we talked about the fact that big pictures are made up of small parts. This is one of those small parts.
Yes, it is.
And we look at this and it is an outrage, but the things that got people into the situation where they were having the abortions aren't an outrage. The sort of devil may care attitude about premarital sex and marriage and sex inside and outside of marriage and all kinds of different things, different kinds of viewpoints are part of those little pieces of the big picture. And now, what are you going to do about this? Well, yeah. Do you ban abortion? Yeah, you do.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. And as we've long determined, well, you would totally ban abortion. How about rape and incest? Well, okay. Let's talk about that for a second. Why would the penalty for one of the victims of rape and incest, that is the fetus, the unborn child, why would you give that child the death penalty because he's one of the victims of rape or incest? It doesn't make any sense at all.
And even if you didn't consider the fetus to be a victim in that circumstance, it certainly isn't the criminal.
No.
That unborn child did not commit the act.
No.
That unborn child did not force their will upon another person in order to gratify themselves sexually. Regardless of whether you want to, and people will argue, well, that the woman was the victim, and so the woman has the right. Yes, the woman was a victim. But again, that would be like saying, okay, I saw a murder, therefore I'm the one who should be killed for it.
Right.
You know, I'm an innocent bystander. I just happen to be in the vicinity of the crime taking place. Does that mean that I should get the penalty for that crime?
Yeah, he held a gun on me too, and then he shot that woman. Well, obviously it's your fault.
There it is. Yeah, exactly. It makes no sense. And the second part about it is, we're the only society who says that a defenseless, judicially innocent person...
That's an important point, by the way.
Should be executed for someone else's crime.
Judicially innocent.
Exactly.
They're not. We've run into problems with people who are fetus worshipers.
Yes, true.
There are people in the pro-life movement who are fetus worshipers, and they will talk about these innocent human beings. No such thing.
No,
they're judicially innocent. In other words, they've committed no crime.
Right.
And that they're sinners by nature and by birth, and or by nature because they're not born yet.
Right.
They're sinners by nature from conception, but they haven't committed a crime.
Right.
Worthy of the death penalty or anything else. In fact, one of the most sickening defenses of abortion that I think I've ever heard, and we actually got thrown out of a political party for opposing this particular argument.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Was the invader argument. This is, unfortunately, this is Murray Rothbard's argument. If you know who Murray Rothbard is, libertarianism, they all look upon Murray Rothbard as a great hero. Murray Rothbard was a great historian. He was a lousy ethicist. And this is why. Because he put forth the argument that an unwanted child was an unwanted invader into the body. And therefore, since he was an intruder, he could be killed and removed. No. He is not an unwanted intruder or invader. The fact is that he is the result of the activity you engaged in. Now, in the case of rape and incest or rape, you were not necessarily a willing participant. Nonetheless, God, by his infinite grace, has seen fit to give you a pregnancy. Does that mean you have to keep that child? No. A lot of people, understandably, after that, give a child up for adoption. Fine. Good. Other people keep the child.
Yeah, right.
And we've run into some pro-life activists who were like, yes, I was the result of a rape, or I was the result of an incest. And see me here, I'm the reason why that shouldn't be allowed to be killed. That's the entire point. They're judicially innocent. And we can't let these goofy invader arguments take over and say, well, because it's a short step from allowing women to kill babies on the basis of rape and incest over to selling the fetus parts because it'll advance medicine. No. That is evil on its face. And yes, I am talking of the fact that there is a God and he does forbid these things. Well, the argument will always come up. What do you do about people that reject the idea that there's a God? What about it? The fact is there is one, whether they reject him or not. That's a presupposition that I'm not willing to surrender. There is a God and he does forbid these things. And even if he didn't forbid these things, it would still be an individual human life with a full set of rights. Rights don't attach at birth. They attach at conception.
That's true.
Because rights are a gift from God, as we talked about last week. Rights are not given by the Supreme Court. They're not given by the state. They're guaranteed by the government. They're not given by them. And that's the problem we've run into. We no longer understand that from that particular basis. That rights are a gift. They're inherent. They're not something that government gives. Even the church doesn't understand that, and that's why I'm making this big speech. The church really does not grasp these basics. And why not? Well, because the church is walking away from the idea that God's law should have anything to do with our civil law. And if you think that means that I want you all to walk around with uncut sideburns and, you know, beard beard down to your belly button and whatever, you know.
I'm failing miserably.
Yeah, and not eating shellfish. Guess what, folks? I love shellfish.
I don't, but that's okay.
I'm a big shrimp, crab, lobster fan.
You can have it.
Yeah, thank you. I'll take your portion any day.
I'll tell you what, I'll take you out to a seafood buffet the day you take me out to a sushi bar.
Oh, well, we can hit a place that has both sushi and shellfish and we'll be fine.
Then we'll be all right.
But that's not what that means, because that's the ceremonial law and that's passed away. That was the law that was designed to keep set Israel apart. Well, guess what? Jesus said, okay, don't be set apart anymore. Now get out there. The church is now everyone who has been given to me by God. And really, it was always that way, but he chose a specific people to set the pace. Okay, that being said, what does the Radical Two Kingdom movement say? The Radical Two Kingdom movement says, oh no, we have to do things by natural law, and we have to look aside as the secularists run the government, because after all, it's a different kingdom. And I say, wrong, it's not a different kingdom. It's one kingdom, two realms. That's a very different concept. We have one king. When Jesus in Matthew 28 says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. What part of all doesn't everybody understand?
Well, all doesn't mean all there, right, Chuck?
That's right. It doesn't mean all. And there are places where all doesn't mean all. All within a given category. But Jesus doesn't say, well, all the authority in heaven has been given to me, or all authority on earth hasn't been given to me. He says, all authority on heaven and in earth. Where else is there?
Doesn't sound to me like there's any other place.
No, sure not. So he has all authority. And we're supposed to go forth, the second part of that, go forth and make disciples of all
nations. Right.
Teaching them to obey all things that I've taught you. Well, gosh, what is that? What's all things that he taught us? It's the law.
The law, of course.
And again, not the ceremonials and not the dietaries. It's the civil law.
Absolutely.
Now, Greg Bonson made a great point. Does that mean we implement them exactly as written for the nation of Israel? Not necessarily.
Not necessarily, no.
No. We have a lot of work to decide. And you and I are both Presbyterian confessionals, the Westminster Confession of Faith.
Yes.
What does it say about the law? Well, it says it was written for Israel and has passed away, except for the general equity thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean? We talked about equity last week. The equal application of the law. And I've had people tell me, well, God isn't law, he's love. And I said, what is love? Define love.
Good point.
It's the equitable application of God's law to your neighbor.
That makes
loving your
sense.
Neighbor as yourself.
Absolutely.
So there's the problem that we're dealing with. And that's what we, you know, are these people loving their neighbor as themselves while they're murdering them and selling their parts? I don't think so.
Don't think that's the case. Matter of fact, I think you'd find it a hard stretch to make that the case. But Chuck, we're living in an age. We've called it postmodernism, but let's just call it what it is. Let's call it a Romans One age. We live in an apostate age.
Yes.
We live in an age where the imagination of man is, we're almost back to the days of Noah, where the man's imaginations are evil continually. If we can sit here and condone Planned Parenthood and this medical services director, Nikotola, if we can sit there and excuse that, because for some reason we're just talking about tissue. We're not talking about a living,
we've
human being.
It's reductionism.
Yeah, it's
talking about tissue.
Absolutely.
And not people.
It's and that's what we're talking about, people. Every one of those 56 plus million now that have been aborted were human people. Exterminated by other human people. Now, if they were above ground and out of the womb, we call that genocide. But because they're in the womb and not visible to the naked eye, except to the abortionist and possibly to the woman as she looks, then we call it choice. I'm going to make my choice for life, not for genocide. I don't know about the rest of you. This is an issue, you know, we have to stand on the basic dignity of the human being. It's the reason why I hate calling it a human resources department. I still refer to it as personnel.
Yeah.
Because human resources is reductionism.
Exactly.
And honestly, Charles, and that's where we have to be real. So you can tell I'm filled with internal angst all the time trying to figure out, okay, how do I say this in a way that gets across what I'm trying to get at? Because we've accepted reductionism as a way of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In this culture.
And equivocation.
Oh.
That's a deadly combination, reductionism and equivocation.
Well, it's very deadly, especially to the unborn. That's for sure.
Well, that's it for this week. You've heard what we have to say, and you've heard what we think. We want to know what you think. Come on out to www.principledpolicy.com. That's www.principledpolicy.com. And there's contact information for Barry and for me and other members of the Institute for Principled Policy. Use it. Let us know what you think. That being said, we're out of time. Join us again next week for another Principles and Policies.